Taken my harp down from the willow tree. My heart is singing the victory. My sins forgiven. My home is in heaven. All sorrow is gone. Glory I show, now I am free. Praise the Lord. Keep the victory. Keep the victory. Bless the name of Jesus. For Psalm number 44, I believe we are. Let's see what we can get from it today and how far we can go. To the chief musicians for the sons of Korah. Now we're mentioning the sons of Korah, but don't look back there always for the song sons of Korah. The sons of Korah today are all of those who are in God's Levitical priesthood and all of those who are appointed to sing praises unto God. We are the sons of Korah if we are the anointed singers unto God. You see, that's what they represented. That's what they were and what they indicated. Now, that time that all these things, you'll notice that while they're singing these songs of victory, while they're singing these songs of praise, they're also lamenting, they're also weeping, they also find themselves in difficulty, but they also find themselves in giving praise to Him because He has given them the victory. You see, it's the whole run of your Christian life manifest there. And it wasn't happening to them at that time. It hadn't even been happening to some of them there. And yet, it was for them then, but principally for all those who thereafter should be seeking after God and finding Him. Especially for the church, we recognize those things now. Looking back through history, we found all these things happened unto them, both the good and the bad. And the innocent and the righteous suffered with the unrighteous. But through it all and in it all, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So back there, looking unto Yahweh, who the creator of all things and the one who has chosen them and the one who has promised them, they could have the same understanding. So again, another song for the sons of Korah, another maskil, teaching, instructing lesson. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. Now you see, this is way back there, 1,000 years before Christ, that this was written. And yet they're looking way back. They're looking way back with the witness of their fathers and what happened unto them, how they got where they are. And at this time, they're in a great kingdom. At this time, they're the biggest kingdom on earth. And their kings, most renowned of any king on earth, both David and Solomon in their times. Yet, it's full of prophecy. It's full of promise. It's full of teaching. And it's full of reprimand and indication of judgment, both then and hereafter. Thou didst in thy days, in times of old, and Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, the apostle, speaking to the church, he says, that now, having so great a cloud of witnesses, see, we're looking back. The church was looking back in Paul's time, but that was 2,000 years ago. Here we are up here. Now we're looking back to Paul and the people of the early church, the fathers of the early church, and to the fathers behind them, clear back as far as they looked. But now we're looking back, not just 3,000 years as they were looking back. We're looking back almost 6,000 years. And there has so much water gone under the bridge since then. So much history has come. So many things have happened. Jesus has come. They've rejected the Lord of glory. They've crucified Him. And they've gone out into their sorrows and troubles. But the whole promises of God are still there. Every promise that God ever made that hasn't been fulfilled is still there. And it has to be performed. And in all these Psalms, you see those things being performed clear down, clear down, clear down, even through the millennium and on into eternity. You see, we're not just looking back at history. We're not just talking about singing songs. We have here a teaching, a history, and a promise, and a revelation, and your own inspiration in God, that you might lay hold on Him and obtain eternal life, and not fall now as many of those fell. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. How thou didst drive out the heathen with thy hand. God drove them out. They didn't drive them out. And plantedst them, plantedst your people. Drove out the heathen, but planted His people, our fathers. Thou didst afflict the people in the land and cast them out, because they were wicked, ungodly people. With that first verse, Psalm 78:3, Exodus 12:26 and 27, Matthew 27, 46. No, 46. Matthew 27, 46. The wonderful works God has done there. Now, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them. Israel didn't do this by her strength. They didn't even get loose from their bondage in Egypt by their power, but by God's power. But not by their own arm, not by their own sword, but thy right hand, God's right hand, his executions, what he did by his own power and strength. And thine arm, that is his power, his right hand is his great salvation that he has stretched forth to his people. Jesus is God's right hand man. He's the right hand man. And his people are his right hand people. See, at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore for us. And by thy right hand and thine arm, thy power, and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. He chose them because he delighted in them. And he took them for his own people, a special people. No other people on the earth like those whom God chose made his own, to teach them his way, and that he might be known of them, and they might become his children and his heirs. Yes? Well, if you read the others there with it, and then your first verse, and your Hebrews 12, you'll I can't recall right now what application I made of it, but it would take. No, I'm sorry. I know what happened there. I just didn't mark that so that I got it with the other one. It doesn't belong with the other one. That Matthew 27 belongs with 42:9. 42:9. I gave it to you. I think you'll find it there with your 42:9. And because I had it under these others that belongs to the first verse, I picked that up thinking they belonged there. Usually I mark these so I can tell, but that one I didn't mark, so I could be either be the one on my right hand or the one on my left in my book, you see, and that's the reason that I did that. All right, let's see if we can go on from here. With verse 3, see if I can keep that, Deuteronomy 8, 14 to 17, Joshua 24, 12, and Deuteronomy 2, 31 and 33. I hope those are where they belong. My space is so limited, and there's so many much other stuff mixed in here that I can't tell sometimes. It's very difficult. Thou art my king, O God. Command deliverances for Jacob. Psalm 67 and 12 and 108 13, Numbers 24, 18. God has already commanded deliverance for his people. Uh, I'm sure that both of them speak of God's declaration, beginning way back in Numbers 24:18, His prophecy. Concerning Israel, of their greatness and how they would prosper and how that they would do valiantly. Let's see what's Numbers 24, 18. This is Balaam's prophecy as God spoke through Balaam before ever they got into the land. They were just coming up through the land past Moab. King of Moab called Balaam to curse the people of Israel. And in verse 17 it says, this is what he said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. Not yet. You see, that's down in the future, in their end. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth, the tumultuous ones. And Edom shall be a possession. That's the sons of Esau, people of Esau, and all of those who are like Esau sell their birthright. Seir also shall be a possession for his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, the sinners, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations. That is, he was not only among the oldest, but he was one of the first that fought against God and against the children of Israel. And he was a great nation. But his latter end shall be that he perish forever. Now look at Psalms 60 and 12, the other verse I gave you. If I had all the time in the world to just go through these with you, we'd do so much better, but we don't have. Psalm 60 and 12 says, look at the seventh verse. Let's go back to the third verse here, and it'll help us. Thou hast showed thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Now that is since there, you see, this is a prophecy forever it comes to pass, the bigger part of it. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee. That banner over us is love. That it may be displayed because of the truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. Song of Solomon and so many other places enter right into that. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and hear me. There's his right hand, see, in his salvation. Save. Here it says, save thy right hand, the people of his right hand. But with his right hand also, because Jesus Christ is his right hand, and he is the God's arm also. And Joseph was a part of God's arm. His arms were made strong by the mighty one of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd of Israel, the rock, the stone, the shepherd of Israel. God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem, and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Over in Obadiah, you remember, Obadiah tells us in the last end that Gilead is going to be given to Benjamin. All Benjamin shall have Gilead, the whole country in there. So what he could have said here is, instead of saying Gilead is mine, he could have said Benjamin is mine, because Benjamin is the one that's going to have it when at the time that he's talking of here. So we have in Gilead, we have Benjamin is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim also is the strength of mine head, Judah is my lawgiver. There you have the four special nations before him again. But then notice, Moab is my washpot. A vessel, but not with honor, without honor. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. I'll trample them down. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia. Over Philistia, shout of triumph. Because who will bring me into the strong city and lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off? He hasn't cast them off yet. The time these were written, he hadn't cast them off. They were in a great nation. They were a great kingdom, greatest kingdom on earth. Wilt not thou, O God, which hast cast us off, and O God, which didst not go out with our armies? Coming a time when he will not go out with their armies. He'll in fact fight against them. You remember Zedekiah sought Jeremiah to have God to do something about Nebuchadnezzar coming up, and God said, I'm going to join forces with Nebuchadnezzar against you. Not going out with their armies. But all that has not taken place yet. That's still 500 years to go yet. Then the 11th verse, give us help from trouble. Now if with that verse 10, which didst not go out with our armies, then chapter 108, 7 and 11 will tell you. I'll give you another verse right here before you turn away from it. But with this verse 10, Psalm 108, 11, 7 and 11, you'll find the same thing, only different. And this different. This one said, didst thou not go out with our armies? And let me give you the 12th verse. Give us help from our trouble, for vain is the help of man. 118:8 on that verse right there, if I remember correctly. We'll give you a big good one. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. See, that's right where we are in the psalm. That's what we're reading back there then. Then let's look at 108:11-7 and 108. Now 108:7 says, see, you're saying the same thing. That thy beloved may be delivered. Save with thy right hand and hear me, answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem, meet out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine. Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot, and so on. Now, the 11th verse, wilt not thou, O God, who hast cast us off, lead us into against our enemies, Edom? And wilt not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Now you see, that's different. The other said you did not go out. There was a time back there that we just are looking at in Ezekiel, when now they're going out and he will not go out with them. Now this is prophesying 500 years before that takes place of that, but and the other part of it that looks almost like it but is different is way over here, and that's speaking of the time when he will go out with them, according to Obadiah and the other prophets. Now you see, all those come together, but they're all prophecies, and everyone has its proper place, time. But because up there it's going to be just like it was back here, except that up there God's bringing his people in, and here he was casting them off. He would not; he did not therefore go out with them there, but up here he will go out with his people. He will fight for him as he fought for him in the day of battle, Zechariah 14, and 3 and 4. And he will fight for them and will deliver them. And that's what this is singing about. See? Now you say, well, they made a mistake. Which one's right? This one says this way and this one says this way. They're both right. But they've got to be put in their proper place. There was a time when the same thing happened in reverse. As I thought to do evil unto you, now I will also think to do good unto you. See, it just reversed. Because now he's bringing them in. Now they've turned back to him. And so those are the things that we're learning. But you have to know when to shift gears. You see? You have to know what the scripture is about, or else you're confused. You say, well, somebody got it wrong one place or the other. Oh, no, they didn't. It's all right, just the way it is. Now let's read this back here at 44. Pardon? Pardon?
What kind of confusion were the people that read this back there?
Couldn't possibly know. Couldn't possibly know. That's why Paul says, holy men of old desired to look into these things, and they even inquired and questioned after, but they couldn't find it. They couldn't find it. It wasn't for them. All they could see was that which pertained to them. They could see that. But what about this? Wasn't for them, see? And they knew that there was something, though. I mean, the spiritual ones among them knew that there was something up there, but they didn't know what. Searching what or what manner of time the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, back there, did speak when it prophesied of these things to come. You remember Paul teaching that? Speaking of that in that manner. That's what we are doing now. We're looking back there at... And if you look at it from their viewpoint, we're looking from our viewpoint, we can see what their problem was, and we can also see what happened, and now we also know what is happening. It makes us to know that we're right in the very end of the thing. Thou art my king, O God, command deliverances for Jacob. And he has commanded deliverances. His prophecies are just full of deliverances. O Judah, I have a harvest yet for you. Way back there when he cast off Israel and retained Judah. And then when he cast them off, the hope was still there. But they had to turn. They had to repent. They had to come back. They had to confess. They had to admit their ways before the Lord. Through thee will we push down our enemies. You see, we just read way over there that it is he that will put the enemies under them. Through thy name, through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. 18:29, Malachi 4:2-3, Romans 8:37, Philippians 4:13. Now, you see, you've got them both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and it's the same thing. God doesn't change. What he says back there will come to pass if it had. Every one will be fulfilled. New Testament recognizes exactly the same thing. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. Psalm 2:12 and 118:8. We were just now there. 118:8. Now let's see if I've got something here that I probably should give you. Also with that verse 3, Deuteronomy 4:37 and 7:7-8. And if you read those, put it with that verse 3, you will have an understanding that will cinch you. It'll show you, it'll take you clear back to where God first made the promises. And that was fixed, that was settled. God promised it, he will do it. Faithful is he that promised, who also will do it. But that's clear up here in Paul's writing. But it's just exactly the same as back here. And it's just the same as it is in another place in prophecy where he says that everyone, not one, shall want its mate. Every prophecy shall be fulfilled. And Jesus said the same thing, not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law till all be fulfilled. All things in the scriptures concerning me have an end, Jesus says. In other words, they every one will be fulfilled. But thou hast saved us from our enemies and hast put them to shame that hated. Right here in the same spot. What did he say? Thou hast saved us. What do you mean? He hasn't had time to yet. Nothing. You're still right there. The promise is there. And faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen is present. So that you know. And you can say it's done. See? We can know what God will do for us because He has promised it. That's the faith that makes us to stand no matter what comes. And God will do it in His time, even though we, like a lot of them back in that time, suffered adversity. Thou hast saved us from our enemy and hast put them to shame that hated us. 33:17 also. In God do we boast. In God we boast all the day long and praise thy name forever. Selah. 34:2. But that's forever. Forever. Not just while things are going well. We praise thy name forever. In God we boast. But thou hast cast off. Now you see, switching right back and forth. But there is faith, there is hope, there is trouble, there is the circumstances that they're facing. But thou hast cast off and put us to shame and goest not forth with our armies. Now you see, because that was right ahead of them now. Right ahead of them. It wasn't yet. It was a long time yet. 500 years yet before this actually came to pass. Now they could see the evidence of it sometimes when God didn't go with them. But at the present time, when these first writing of these Psalms, they're in good circumstances. The biggest kingdom in the world just prospering wondrously. Good kings. And praising the Lord and singing the songs of Zion in the temple and everything's beautiful and wonderful. Yet of both their calamities and their disobedience and their casting off and their trouble, and when it at a time when it would look like that God was not doing these things to them, is all being prophesied of, and He's putting the words right in their mouth for them so that when it comes, they'll have the promises and the assurance and the faith, Thou hast saved us from our enemies, have put them to shame that hated us. It'll be there too to sustain them, to encourage them, to turn them, to make them to confess. And those who did found out that it went better with them. Some of them returned. Many of those found the Lord and just kept Him in their hearts all their days and taught their children of Him, so that when the gospel finally did come to those children down the line, they'd already heard considerable about these things. And they were hungering and thirsting after God. You know, the people that hear the gospel, just as soon as they hear it, that's what they want. That's just what they've been hungering and thirsting at. That's just what my soul has been looking for. I sought Him but could not find Him, but oh, here He is. Thou makest us to turn back from the enemy, and they which hate us spoil for themselves. They seem like the wicked have taken over. Now, in that, in God we boast all the day long, Psalm 34:2, Jeremiah 9:24, Romans 2:17. And then, but thou hast given us like sheep for meat, and hast scattered us among the heathen. Romans 8:36. All the day long, Paul says, we are slaughtered like sheep. Thou sellest thy people for naught. Literal Hebrew seems to say there, without riches, without any, no profit to you. Thou sellest thy people for naught and dost not increase by their price. God, we have no value to him. Your people, you've cast them off, and they've been of no profit to you. Your people have been of no profit to you. But in Isaiah 52:3, we read in there that it says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, and I think in 52:3 there it says, thou hast sold thyself for naught, and thou shalt be redeemed without price. You have sold yourself. They say, well, you sold us out to the enemy. Yes, but that was because of your ungodliness and your wickedness. But actually, it wasn't God that sold you out. You sold yourself. Amen. Sold yourself for naught. God tried to save you. He told you these things. He pleaded with you. Stretched out his hand to you. Sent his prophets unto you. And did good for you. Blessed you. But you turned away backward. You wouldn't hear him. You sold yourself for naught. But you shall be redeemed without price. Wine and milk without money and without price. The blessings of God are yours. Did you have a question?
No, that verse is pointing that O Israel, thou hast destroyed yourself in Hosea 13:9. Hosea 13:9.
That, yes, that first one. I had a hold of two of them. Hosea 13:9. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but thy help is in me. And then the other one is in 52, where he said, thou sold thyself for naught, and you shall be redeemed without price. All right, let's see. Thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to them that are round about us. Lamentations 3. 45. If there is a 45. That could be 4 and 5, but I think it's 45. I've forgotten. 45? All right, 45 is correct. Also, Isaiah 55:1 and Psalm 79:4 and 80 verse 6, Deuteronomy 28:37. All of that will make it very plain to you if you read them. If you don't read them, well, then you just won't learn anything about it. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen, a shaking of the head among the people. Jeremiah 29:18. What in the world have I got here? Oh, yes. Jeremiah 29:18, and also 18 verses 15-17. Pardon? Jeremiah. My confusion is continually before me. Now, the word confusion is the same as confound or confounded. So if I give you a verse of scripture that says confound, it's the same thing. But God's people are not supposed to be confused. The enemy is supposed to be confused. God promises that, see, that he'll confuse the enemy. But his people will find themselves in confusion. And confounded. But not if you're walking with him and listening to him, you won't be. Isaiah 41:11 and 54:4. Psalm 69:6. Romans 10:11. Time you get through with those, you should know all about it. For the voice of him that reproacheth and blasphemeth by reason of the enemy and the avenger. Lamentations 3:46. All this is come upon us. All this is come upon us. Now remember this, all this has not yet come upon us. But it will come upon us. And it doesn't all come at once. I mean, there are other times that it comes upon them. It's going to come upon them when, at the time that they will not submit to the king of Babylon. It'll come upon them when they reject the Christ. It'll come upon them in the end time. All this has come upon us. Yet have we not forgotten thee, but God said, you have forgotten me. Kind of a contradiction is that. Not everyone forgot him. This is the cry now of the innocent, the cry of the righteous among them. Those who remembered God, when they saw these things, they took heed. They knew that that was so. And they knew that this was happening to them. And beside that, they were suffering in it too. Because even the righteous, you remember I read it to you just the other day, where both the righteous and the good would be cast out and sent out. Both the green tree and the dry tree would be burned. Burned. By that, I don't mean in hell, but I mean they'll suffer those things that destroyed their city, their nation, and cast them off and put them in great, terrible circumstances. Righteous and the others right along with them. When they went down into Egypt, Jeremiah went right with them. When they carried him away into Babylon, Ezekiel and Daniel and others like them went right along with them. See? Suffered in the lion's den, in the fiery furnace. But they were righteous. So here's the cry of the righteous, suffering faithful. It's always been so. It was so in the early church. It'll be so up here in the end of time. Don't forget these things. They've gone through these things already before at different times. And if you see it coming here, don't let the bottom drop out from under you. The devil's got a trap door, and he'll just spring the trap door and let you drop down. Don't be trapped. See what I mean? Gone. All this has come upon us, yet have we not forgotten thee, neither have we dealt falsely in thy covenant. Now this is prophesying that they won't all. They won't all. There will be some that will keep his commandments, and in spite of it all, they will keep the faith. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Unto death? Yes, unto death. And the worst kind of death, some of them. Horrible. In the early church, the followers of Jesus. Awful. They will have their reward. Every promise of God made to them will be fulfilled. They'll come into their inheritance. Now, it's too bad, but then that's the way it is. But how did they get that way? Well, by the world just going away from God and not coming to him. And he just can't save just a few at a time. He isn't doing that. He has a time for everything. But he will see his people through. He will be a joy and a blessing. They will have a hope. They will have a peace that the world knows nothing about. They'll have a rest that the rest of the world is in turmoil. They will have a rest that the others don't know anything about. Come unto me, Kiandamayaka Hosanna. Come unto me, all you who are laboring and heavily laden, and I'll give you rest. I've found that rest in Him. I know you have. Many of you have. Some of you are still struggling and allowing other things to keep you from that rest or keep you from that hope. And that peace that passes understanding when prayed, God, you can just rejoice in Him. I went to bed at 2:30 this morning, but I said, thank you, Lord, for this day and for your help and your goodness. Glory to God forever. You seem like the devil's throwing the book at us. I mean his book. Believe me. Our heart is turned back. Our heart is not turned back. Neither have our steps declined from thy way. Hear the testimony? Some faithful among them. Though thou hast sore broken us in the place of dragons and covered us with the shadow of death. Place of dragons, you'll find it there in Revelation 12:4 again. That's for you and me. That's coming. And in Revelation 13:7. Great red dragon standing before the woman, ready to devour her child as soon as it was born. And then a little later on, those who are not of that man-child, who didn't make it, it was given unto him to make war with the woman's seed and to overcome them and kill them for 3.5 years, 42 months, 1260 days. And there's nothing left for them then except just be faithful unto death. Just be faithful. Just be faithful. They didn't make the out translation, but be faithful. If we have forgotten the name of our God or stretched out our hands to a strange God, shall not God search this out? Psalm 139:1. Job 31:14, Jeremiah 17:10, who will explain verse 21 to you more perfectly with Revelation 3, 8 to 10. Yea, for thy sake are we killed all the day long. That's that same Romans 8, 36. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Paul quotes that concerning the church. Awake! Why sleepest thou, O Lord? Yahweh? Because he did sleep. But he awaked. That's the important part. If Christ be not risen from the dead, then we are of all people most miserable. But now is Christ awaked. Arise. He did arise. Cast us not off forever. And he began to gather his people back. He began to gather his people. The kingdom of heaven is his hand. Repent, therefore, that your sins may be blotted out. And the gospel is preached, and all men presseth into it. The kingdom of heaven is preached, and all men presseth into it. Not all, but all who will, whosoever will. It's for all, if they will. Wherefore hidest thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? God has never forgotten you. But he has cast them out of his sight and as though he did not know them for a season, but only for a moment. Tom?
How's that addition to awake, why sleepest thou, O Lord? Psalm 121, it says, my help cometh from the Lord which made it. Heaven and earth, he will not suffer that quickly move. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep a day longer. Isaiah 54:7, it says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercy will I gather thee."
Yes. All right. I'm sure I have some of that in here someplace. Anyone want those scriptures now again?
Yeah.
Did you get them? Did you get them?
1:23 and 4, and
Isaiah 54:7. Also Isaiah 44:22. And did you have Exodus 14:30? I'm not sure now whether that applies to there, but Isaiah 59:20, did you give that? All right, with that 24, "Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression?" Deuteronomy 32:20 and Isaiah 54:8. He may have given you that. I don't know. And Deuteronomy 32:20. "For our soul is bowed down to the dust. We're brought down. We're humbled." That's why the reason he sent them out, to humble these people. If out there among the heathen, then you'll humble yourself and acknowledge your way, then turn to the Lord, God will bring you back. "Our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. We're prostrate, O God, we're just helpless, we are on our face before you. Arise for our help," because he is our help. "Be a help for us," some translate the Hebrew, "and redeem us for thy mercy's sake." That's what that Isaiah 44:22 is about. He is the Redeemer. All right, Psalm 45, "To the chief musician upon Shoshanim." The word Shoshanim there is the plural of Shushan or Shoshan, meaning lilies. Lilies. "To the chief musician concerning," you see, upon Shoshanim, that is concerning or of great interest to the lilies. And the lilies, of course, are the bride of Christ and her companions, who are going into the marriage supper of the Lamb also along with her. And for the sons of Korah, who are singing these, because the sons of Korah also represent that same Levitical inner circle that are anointed for singing spiritual praises unto God. So it's all a maskil. You see, it's a teaching, didactic revelation, and gives you understanding and insight and teaching. Now that's what this is for. This is a lesson. That's just not just a song. These songs are to teach the people, and prophesy and teach your people what's coming and how they should act. A song of loves, because it is concerning the song, like the Song of Solomon is a song of loves. And there we find the lilies. In Song of Solomon 6:2-3, it says he feedeth among the lilies. He said he comes into his garden to gather lilies. You see, Jesus is coming to gather his people. And he feeds among them. He feeds among them. He is in our midst. And he is in our worship. And he's in our praises. In fact, he inhabits the praises of the people of God. So he's in the midst of the lilies. The lilies are the virgins, both men and women. They're virgins, has respect to both men and women. But when he's likening it to the church, it's a woman, because he's the husband, she's the bride. But it's "My heart is indicting a good matter." That the Hebrew of that word indicting really means a bubbling up or an overflowing, just thrilled. you see, just a spiritual outburst, rivers of living water and praises unto God, just kind of eager to tell it, as it says here. I speak of the things that my heart is inditing a good matter. I mean the good news, the gospel, the glad tidings and salvation and the Lord Jesus. I speak of the things which I have made touching the King. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I'm just can't wait to tell it. Write it. I'll tell it wherever I go. Just said that I would testify. Just can't keep from it. All right. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Luke 4:22. You'll find Jesus there as he speaks of him. They wondered at the gracious words that fell from his lips. Grace is poured into thy lips. You see, it's prophesying especially of the Lord Jesus. But Jesus is not the only one. God puts gracious words in his people. He's full of grace, and he has given grace to every one of us. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Be gracious, even as he is. Grace for grace. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Thee. It's getting right down personal. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty. Revelation 1:8. And in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. And meekness and righteousness, and he was all of that. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. His power in God and his power that he has as God's right hand man teaches him marvelous things that would. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. He told him that way back in Deuteronomy and in Numbers, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Psalm 93:2 and Hebrews 1:8. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. In the New Testament Hebrews, it says the scepter of thy kingdom thy kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. Thy scepter, thy kingdom is a scepter of righteousness. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. The oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who is this, O God, that God, thy God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness? You see, it's a real puzzler. Back there, it was a real puzzler. It was no problem to you now, is it? No problem for you, is it? Anybody got any problem about that? You know who it is, don't you? And you know how it came about. But they didn't know nothing about that. Pick it up right there next time. You also have that oil of gladness.